Senate Committee on Local Government and Urban Affairs will come to order. One item we have on today, but we'll take a little bit later, but I want to make a statement on it as a witness, so that we can put it in context and give a little history about it. So, would you like to resign, Senator Carswell, out here as a witness?
Why do you get the top here, Mr. Chairman, first thing first?
It's not going to be that bad.
How long is it?
We're just going to start a hearing on Senate Joint Memorial Number 4.
All right, I'll be right with you. Well, this is a great public event.
All right, we'll open the hearing on Senate Joint Memorial Number 4. Any witness in the audience like to appear? Senator Burns, appear.
Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, I'm Keith Burns, a state senator from District 6, which is the Banana Belt of Multnomah County, the southern part of the county. And I'm here to testify on Senate Joint Memorial Number 4, which legislation to memorialize Congress to make daylight saving time year-round. And it's quite appropriate that we consider it today, because I understand we have to change our clocks next Sunday, and I'm in my usual quandary. I don't know whether we're supposed to turn them ahead or back. And so I thought it would be appropriate for us to discuss this today. I'd like to tell you a little bit of history about daylight saving time, if I may. Under the Uniform Time Act of 1966, the Congress of the United States declared that all states and U.S. possessions must observe daylight saving time. This act requires uniformity on the part of the states. And daylight saving time begins at 2 a.m. on the last Sunday in April and ends at 2 a.m. on the last Sunday in October. Now, the idea of daylight saving time is almost two centuries old. It was first proposed by Benjamin Franklin in 1784 when he was minister to France. In fact, in a document entitled Economic Projections for Diminishing the Cost of Light, he estimated that 96,075,000 candles would be saved each year as the citizens of Paris advanced their clocks by 1 hour. Now, in spite of the long history, it took the necessities of World War I to make daylight saving time a reality. Both Germany and the Allied powers observed it until the cessation of hostilities in 1919. During World War II, daylight saving time was reintroduced in the United States, but was terminated shortly after that conflict. In 1967, under the requirements of the Uniform Time Act, states were required to adopt uniform daylight saving time regulation. This was seen as a necessary step at the time due to the fact that local options on daylight time were frequently encountered. For instance, in one area of West Virginia, which transfers 30 miles, travelers had to go through 7 different time zones due to city and county local options. Our 50 years of experience in the United States with daylight saving time has produced both proponents and opponents. It seems to be popular with city residents, merchants, and those wishing to conserve light, heat, and power costs. It at least used to be very unpopular with rural residents, especially the agricultural industry, who contends that milking of cows or the dew on the grass is not geared to the clock, but to the sun. But that battle has really been fought in Oregon, and it is over, and it's only a question of whether we have it year-round and not a question of whether we have it all or not. Senate Joint Memorial 4 asks Congress to put the nation permanently on daylight saving time. Most countries of the world abandoned the use of daylight saving time following World War II. Some of those retaining it on a nationwide or local basis are Canada and the People's Republic of China, Iceland, Norway, Poland, Portugal, United Kingdom, and of course United States now. Two countries, France and the Soviet Union, utilize daylight saving time all year round. In the summer, the Soviet Union advances its clocks 2 hours ahead. This is seen as a move to allow extra daylight saving or working hours to conserve fuel and electric supplies. Now, these are the reasons that I advocate the adoption of this joint memorial, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Are there any questions, Senator Burns?
I wonder if you can figure out which is the turning clock.
Well, I suppose if I'm late for committee meeting Monday morning, I or if I arrive an hour early, I think I'll probably figure it out then, Senator Jernstedt.
Or an hour late, case may be.
Yes.
Why is it that people just don't get up early? We have to force them to get up earlier with a clock.
Well, I would be in favor of that, Senator Meeker, except there's such a difference of opinion with people, whether they ought to get up earlier or go to bed later, and I can see different employers having different attitudes and creating great confusion. I'm trying to eliminate confusion. That's what I'm, that's the benefit of the SJM 4.
Any other questions?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator.
Well, what? Wait a minute. You say there are delinquencies, George.
No.
What? wouldn't be interest at all unless they were delinquent. Or is it that deal where the first year where you pay it by a quarter and so forth at 6%?
Let me find it. Okay. There's one area that we changed, it was changed to 8% the last session.
Two-thirds of 1% per month.
A delinquent tax and county tax?
Okay.
All right. Senator Meeker moves the bill to floor of the new pass recommendation discussion.
I would draw my motion to consider Carson.
Tomorrow I move to amend your motion to 2/3 of the three quarters.
All right.
I move to amend Senator Baker's motion to change line 22, change, delete 3/4 and add 2/3.
All right. You've heard the motion discussion. Those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed signify by saying no. The motion is passed. Senator Meeker moves the bill to the floor as amended to the new pass recommendation. Discussion. Clerk, call the roll.
Aye.
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 Senator Meeker carries the bill. All right. Is there a motion on Senate Bill 743? Oh, we put it on the back burner.
What is Senator Hartung here for, Mr. Chairman?
I didn't know Senator Hartung was still here.
Yeah.
Oh, are you here on that one? 819. 819.
Right.
Right. Okay. Let's go to Senate Bill 819. I thought you left.
Okay.
Here. I apologize.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm Tom Hartung, representing Washington County in the State Senate. Senate Bill 819 was introduced at the request of the Tualatin Hills Park and Recreation District. Our county treasurer notified this district that they no longer wish to do their bookkeeping for them, serve as a depository for their funds. And so what we're asking in this bill is that banks, and I also that understand that you would are considering including savings and loans along.
We have included.
That has been amended into. That has been amended into the bill.
Yeah.
I see. Fine. No objections at all. That would give the park district other alternatives to have their funds deposited with. And Rod Adams from the firm who represents Tualatin Hills Park and Recreation District is here to answer any questions you might have. And with that, I would like to have him take a seat unless there's some questions.
Thank you. Are there any questions?
What do I have? Rod, I'll let
you. Okay. You want to come on up, Rod?
Thank you.
I brought my book. First meeting, didn't we?
Chairman. I'm Rod Adams, attorney representing Tualatin Hills Park and Recreation District. This was introduced at our request primarily because the county has found it difficult or impossible to continue to do our banking for us. Tualatin Hills Park and Recreation District's budget has gotten to the point, their activities have gotten to the point that the county merely cannot keep up with it with its present budget capacity. I think in our examination of most of the other banking laws and special district laws, the park districts are one of the only special service districts left who are required to bank through the county. In Washington County, Tualatin Hills Park and Recreation District and Aloha Park and Recreation District are the only two special districts that are still issuing warrants through Washington County and do not have the option to do their own banking. It's the sole and only purpose of the law is so that we can do our own banking. We can do it on a more efficient basis. I might add that the inability of the county to properly spend the time on it is resulting in approximately 3 overdraft warrants per month being issued that need not be issued.
Are there further questions? Senator Carson.
Do you know, Rod, does the Park and Recreation District having difficulty if we insert it as we have done or savings and loans?
Makes no difference to us. With the banking function of it will be done primarily through banks. There may be times and desires to invest, and the ability and flexibility of doing it through savings and loan also is no detriment to us at all.
Thank you. Are there further questions? Thank you, Rod. You have a motion, Senator.
I'll move the board to pass.
Senator Rod moves eight nineteen. I'll get this bill right sometime. Here we are. Okay, 819. As amended to the floor, we do pass recommendation. Discussion. Clerk, call the roll. Aye.
Aye.
Do you want to carry that again?
Maybe we'd ask Senator Hart.
Oh, right. Okay. Ask, request Senator Hart to carry it. If he doesn't want to, then Senator Jern said, the volunteer. All right. Okay, Rod. Thanks for coming, Rod.
Thank you.
Let's go to Senate Bill 745. That bill is the one where people can secure a notice of any proposed assessment.
Right.
Apparently, at least in some counties, they're doing it already. Well, it sure takes a big bill to do that. Did we adopt those amendments? We had, we had two sets of amendments. One dated April 24, 1973, on 745, which puts, originally it was without charge, and this put it in the county's cost. It figured it cost about a nickel a page to do this. And there was a testimony from somebody in Multnomah County said they didn't object to the bill, but they wanted to have it at a cost. Did we adopt those? And then there was another set of amendments dated March 22. I think that Senator Stevens was brought with him when these were done by the Senate at the state bar. We did adopt the another amendment we adopted was that we made this to any person or we intended to rather than limit it to real estate broker, associate real estate broker, or real estate salesman, what happens to any person on their request. Go ahead.
Do the rest of us have the things you're looking at, Mr. Chairman?
Yeah, you're looking at the Senate bill.
Well, I have these in my book, so I found mine.
It's in the Senate bill.
Since I don't have my file down here, I'm looking at the Senate bill.
I question whether there's any need for it. Why don't we take and just hold on to this for a while? And we're going to do the same thing with 743. We're just kind of here a BB on both of those.
Yes.
On both of those. Let's just put a BB on both of those and not worry about them later in the session.
Pick them up in August.
All right, let's go to Senate Bill 553. We have a George Miller, 553. This bill adds additional sources from which boards of equalization may hire appraisers, and apparently the Department of Revenue has some amendments. Is that right, George?
We would suggest some amendments, Senator.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I'm George Miller, representing the Department of Revenue. This bill deals with the appraisers that are qualified to work with the county boards of equalization. The same subject is covered in Senate Bill 84, which was passed out of the Senate Revenue Committee and is now passed the Senate and is in the House Revenue Committee.
What did we do there?
It's passed out of Senate Revenue, and it's...
The same bill?
Well, it was amended, but it deals with the same subject. And what this does, we started out that the Board of Equalization had to hire an appraiser that was certified by the State Civil Service then, and now Personnel Division of the Executive Department. All right, along come the American Institute of Real Estate Appraisers and got their designated appraisers inserted into the law. In the next session, along come the Society of Real Estate Appraisers and got their designated appraisers into the law. Now the ASAs and the Society of Farm Managers and Rural Appraisers want their designated appraisers into the law. So it was thought in the Revenue Committee, anyhow, that it would be better, rather than insert each and every one of these organizations, just to change it to allow the Department of Revenue to designate by administrative rule which organizations appraisers.
That bill's already gone?
Yes.
Out of Revenue Committee?
Right. There really
isn't any need for it. There's a motion to table Senate Bill 553. Further discussion? Clerk, call the roll.
Aye.
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 Thank you, George.
Thank you very much.
All right.
On 534, Senator Meeker, weren't you our conduit of vast information on this subject, talking to people before and after sessions with witnesses and so forth? Am I mistaken on that? Oh,
we had some experts here in the audience.
Oh. I thought you were
534.
534?
In Blackwood County.
I thought that you...
No, Mr. Chairman, I was one of them dragging my feet, and I had the opportunity to speak with the roadmaster and deputy district attorney afterwards on both this bill and 533. Where I think we find ourselves is I think Mr. Burney's here, and he can correct me if I'm wrong, but apparently there's no disagreement out in that one area, and if we could go to Clackamas County and do it from Clackamas County alone, if I recall the testimony, there's probably no problem to deal with the Mount Hood area, and they need Clackamas County's help, I understand. Problem is, I don't want to do it just for Clackamas County. It's bad law. Do it just for Clackamas County. So, we have an impact.
What's so bad about that?
Doing it just for Clackamas County? Well, if in my view, I see here we say that solid waste doesn't apply to Clackamas, Mohoma, and Washington County.
Well, that's a good reason. One of the reasons we're here is to take care of situations that might exist around the state. And the others want to come in 2 years from now and have this, so we can persuade us for some other group to do it too. I know how you feel. As a lawyer, but I think our kind of pass legislation helps a specific area. We have to agree with
it. You know, I'm sorry, I don't remember the testimony. Why don't we bring up?
Well, we have the roadmaster, Mr. Burney.
Hey, come on up.
Should we get Mr. Burney to come too? And
I'm sorry, I don't. Okay.
The Mount Hood problem.
Right.
Back to the county owner. how does it work again? On page.
Yes, sir.
Okay, and what about
the retail water bill?
Okay. What about the letting the county retail water, and the reason the water district begins is because they don't want the competition again.
That's fair.
I mean, would be the practice. I'm not asking you to agree with that. Now, what about? Do you have authority for a sewer district up in the mountain area now?
Yes, sir. We do. We have authority for
under
sewer.
Under this law, this current law, you're allowed to do that?
Under the current law, we are allowed sewage collection and disposal. Under other statutes, we have highway, road, and street authority. Under this statute,
let's stick to the Watt Mountain area. My understanding is building is limited up there because the sewers aren't in, is that right?
That's basically correct in some areas. We presently have before the Planning Commission plans to develop probably around 5,000 housing units for that area.
Around government camp up in that area?
That's scattered throughout the entire corridor. The people up in Mount Hood have been quite restless, quite dissatisfied with the county for a lack of any plan.
About 25 years.
That's correct. And Clackamas County was able to obtain a federal grant because the government felt that this was a critical need to do a plan for that area. The plan is completed. Portions of that plan call for the establishment of county sewer and water districts. Unfortunately, the drafters of the plan were not aware that the county cannot get into the water business. I think Mr. Burney's statement is there is an existing water district. Actually, there's about two or three private water districts up there. Quite frankly, these people just cannot handle the entire corridor. I think we all agree that extensions of sewer lines and extensions of water lines are a means of controlling land use. And the county has the authority of land use. It has the authority for sewers. And we feel that we need this tool in order to assure orderly growth for the area. I'd also like to point out one other thing, and that is the county cannot provide this service unless, number one, the people vote for it in the area, so they have to ask for it and approve it at an election. And also, we are subject to the Boundary Commission, and if they feel that there is some other entity of government that can better provide that service, it's our history that they will have that entity perform the service.
Even if we pass this bill.
Even if you pass that bill, there must be a vote of the people, and we are subject to the provisions of the Boundary Review Act. So I think this is the safeguards necessary to at least ensure that it's being done properly. I would hope that you wouldn't limit this bill just to Clackamas County, as there are other counties that are probably faced with the same thing. You may want to look, in order to have adequate safeguards, at the provisions of counties subject to the Boundary Review Commissions can get into the business.
How about across the highway over towards Wolfville? Have you got sewers over there? Does the plan include sewers?
There is an existing sewer system at government camp.
The highway over towards Wolfville?
This system is going to be expanded to handle that whole area, and plans are being prepared by a consulting engineer in Portland to do just that.
There aren't sewers over there now?
No.
All right.
No, just in the government camp proper area, which would be the...
Are there other questions? Any questions of witnesses?
Well, I just asked Mr. Bergen, what the little dialogue we've had is, as you see it, is it basically, as the chairman's indicated?
Well, there's... I'm not aware of what the chairman's indicated.
Well, what he was saying is, after all is settled down, the concern seems to be whether the county ought to get into the business of retail water when there is a private company already providing retail.
Well, I don't know if that's the argument. Now, Mr. McIntyre referred to private water districts. Well, what he really means is these are private corporations which have been organized by developers to furnish water to areas which they propose to develop and have developed. These systems are, after our hearing the other day, I attended a meeting of these folks up in the Mount Hood Corridor area, Hoodland they call it, that had been previously called to meet with the Department of Health. Mr. Chin, an engineer for the Department of Health, was present, and he and a fellow named Dorner, an engineer for that Mount Hood Loop Water District, had previously gone over, and the health department had approved a plan by which the district would acquire the facilities of the several private companies which are willing to surrender them to the district. And instead of using well water as a source of supply, they would go over to the Salmon River, which would be able to fulfill the needs for that whole corridor. The subject was really how would we be able to satisfy the requirements of the Boundary Commission that in order that this thing be accomplished on an orderly basis, the annexations to the water district be made. And Mr. Chin came up with suggestions that this could be done on a cooperative basis. So I find that this thing has gone on much farther than I had known at my last meeting. The plans are being made, and the people are being consulted, and they're meeting, and they're talking about it, and they're approving it, and they're going to push it. And the next thing to do is to present it in the lap of the Boundary Commission. Now, basically, on this question of water, I mean, this strikes not just here and there, where a particular area might need water, and the counties can do as good or better or less a job than anybody else. It really comes to this question, as I see it, Mr. Chairman, of to what extent should the legislature give to counties more authority when really the rights under our Constitution, as they've been drawn looking towards county home rule, have vested those in the people to give it to the county commissioners by way of a charter. I think the Clackamas County has had disappointments in getting a charter going in its county. Washington County has one in which the water retail water service was not a power granted by the people. And Multnomah County specifically treats it in its charter. Multnomah County has a home rule county cannot retail water service. So here we are seeking now, I remember also the Multnomah County last session, another last election, other counties previously have attempted by going to the people to have their charters amended. For example, to give counties the authority to issue revenue bonds without a vote of the people and that type of thing. And these have been pretty much regularly rejected by the voters. So the question is, should we, as a matter of policy, invest counties with authorities which the voters in those counties haven't seen fit to grant them through the charter? Now, that may be off the issue, and I think that the chairman believes that I'm sitting up here representing water districts and we don't want to have any competition, and I think he may be right. But the...
I didn't ask you to respond.
Oh, I did, so I appreciate it.
Because I do represent a number of water districts, and they feel that the job is being well done. We know that, we feel really this, Mr. Chairman, if this bill becomes law, then I think that our destinies are pointed pretty much towards the counties. The counties will simply take over the water districts. And maybe that's not too bad a way to go. I might also say that the feeling of our people is that a water district is not intended, nor do the people who operate it or those who are served by it intended to be a long-term type of local government. It's really ad hoc or short-term, and really kind of geared towards annexations of cities. And I don't know that that makes a lot of difference here on this matter, but I think in the orderly development, if the legislature is going to consider now giving to the counties a tool by which they would be able to take over the water distribution facilities of a good part of the area served by the Portland Boundary Commission, then we ought to look into see to it whether or not the cities and the counties, the cities through watered-down annexation laws and the counties through this new authority, wouldn't be in competition, whether that might not be an adverse effect or result to achieve. In summary, I can say the people in Mount Hood are going forward with a plan to work with the water district, and everything seems to be going along in Jake.
Senator Jersey.
George, it occurred to me that one of the goals of your water district is to eventually merge the city to be better served to, over the long range, both of the merged counties.
Yeah, it would seem better to merge with cities?
No, the county system.
Well, the counties have no systems. You see, we're talking about the
back of the... Eventually, they could under this bill.
Well, maybe they could. Well, they can now, Senator. The counties now have the authority to tap water sources and to distribute those waters and to sell that water to cities, to private corporations that want to buy them, or to water districts. They just don't have the authority to go out and peddle it from door to door. Now, with that authority, and that authority has been on our books for at least 6 years that I know of, maybe eight, I don't know of a single case where the counties have done that. They have not developed their own water collection, distribution, storage facilities. And I don't think they plan to, because they're just sitting in the bushes waiting for these districts to, waiting for the authority to sell retail water so they can take the facilities of the district. And Mr. Chairman, there's really one other thing on this thing too, which is important. When a water district is annexed to a city, and the city annexes the whole thing, the city picks up the entire tab for any outstanding bottom indebtedness. The whole city. If the city of Portland should annex Hazelwood Water District, all of the people, all of the property in the city of Portland would be subject to picking up the tab for any outstanding bonded indebtedness that Hazelwood Water District might have. And the theory is, if the city is getting all of the facilities, that the Hazelwood bond issue is being used to pay for. Not so in the case of annexations to a county service district. The county service district does not pick up the entire tab. The county service district law requires that the people in the area continue to pay for facilities which title of which passes to the county service district. So our preference is to go by way of cities because of the financial aspect of it, not counties.
Well, that doesn't solve the problem in Blackwood County, not good.
Not that doesn't, but my previous testimony has, because this bill goes much farther than Clackamas County and Mount Hood.
Okay, are there further questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Let's go to Senate Bill 832. Signed up, I guess, Stan Church.
Mr. Chairman, Stan Church, Warrenton, Oregon, representing the Oregon Association of Realtors. I'm here not to appear in support or against this bill, although we do have some reservations about the firing of county planning commissioners without due cause, which reasons I won't go into at this time. But my only reason for the appearance this morning is to inform the committee what's happening on the House side. Last week in the House Local Government Committee, there was a hearing scheduled on nine separate bills, all dealing with the matter of planning commissioners, their qualifications, their powers, their duties, At the hearing, which continued for probably an hour, I don't think anyone knew quite what bill they were testifying on or why, because it was so confusing. At the end of the hearing, Representative Densmore appointed a subcommittee, Representative Bunn, Representative Morris, Representative Flurry, Representative Ragsdale. That subcommittee met yesterday morning for about 3 hours, and it was decided at that time to take all nine bills dealing with this subject and try to write them into one measure.
And is part to deal with the issue that this bill is addressing itself to?
Yeah. Well, the idea is this covers a whole area field between counties and cities and the makeup of planning commissions, and they're going to try to make one bill out of it, and I would only suggest that this committee try to coordinate with the efforts of the House committee in the same subject, because there's so many.
Well, Dan, aren't most of those dealing with mandating seats and how big they ought to be and whether I'll have environmental and
Senator Carson, I think they cover everything that you ever heard of as far as it covers conflict of interest, powers, duties, who appoints whom, how they're removed from office.
That really doesn't hit this one.
Geographical areas. Well, I can't compare any one of them because there are nine of them. Don Jones is here, and I think Don would agree with me on this, but this might be the right way to go.
Can we ask Don Jones?
Don? Well, I don't have much more to add, Mr. Chairman. They're working on one for county planning commissions and one for city planning commissions. I believe this bill does deal with the commissions other than planning commissions already.
Yes, that's right. This is the difference between what's on the ground.
It deals with an area that those two sets of bills probably will not.
Senator Meeker?
Do the bills in the House cover the aspect of removing a planning commissioner or the planner by the county board of commissioners?
Half of that is that.
Maybe the committee would like to have our administrative assistant consult the House Committee on Local Government Affairs and see to what extent we're talking about the state legislation. Do that, Dean, let us know on Tuesday.
Well, Representative Morris is acting as chairman of the subcommittee, and there will be one more meeting of the subcommittee, which maybe Dean could attend.
You do that, Dean. So put this on for next Tuesday and have a report to be done. Okay? All right. Now we'll go to Senate Bill 830. This deals with legislation permitting the counties to adopt ordinances to prohibit nuisance. And
did we have 380 on here?
Betcher. I reside at 6708 Southeast May Street in Clackamas County. Mr. Chairman and members of the board.
Let me ask you something. Is that in the city limits?
No, it is not.
Outside. Mm-hmm.
Recognizing the dignity of an individual is one of the main responsibilities of American citizenship. And we're here in regard to that responsibility, and you're here to help us. Humans have no respect for others, rather it be their bodies or their possessions, lands, or even the air they breathe. They should be brought to a firm awakening. Our county has a solid waste ordinance, number 502, which is difficult to get enforced, as you can see by some of those pictures. But there are many problems that this doesn't even cover when the law will step in. A few to mention are large diesel trucks and vans parking and blocking our county roads in residential areas. illegal business and repair work night and day is also one of these things that we have to contend with. Chartered cities and home rule counties push their problems to our county, and what do we have to protect our environment in the rural districts? Wrecking yards are definitely a statewide problem. At one time, they were to be fenced. What happened to that law? If it's still in act, why is there no teeth in the law? Enough to make it hurt bad enough, these so-called businessmen would be afraid not to abide by it. A slap on the wrist won't do it. $60 fine should be $6,060. Many of these wreckers are aware of their responsibilities, and they still defy the county and the citizens around. Solid waste can be mentioned endlessly. Many times, if the party concerned is taken to court, the judge will declare old and deteriorating and termite lumber is not solid waste. If so, what about the conditions and hazards it causes? We have numerous conditions of this kind in Clackamas County. Fire department can't even help in many cases. Volume 4, giving the county power to condemn unsafe buildings, might help if we could get planning and zoning, and I understand now public works, to enforce it. But until then, we can only consider these places an unsightly problem. Rock crushers running late at night. River Island Sand and Gravel is one of them in Clackamas County and often runs until 11 or 12 at night when their business is good. Their business itself can't be considered a nuisance, but what about the vexation it causes? This may be only one in the state, and I'm sure there are others. Just a mention of this Senate bill, and the subject of dogs is always brought up. It's hard to put them in a category on this bill. But when truckers and others tie the number of animals up on vacant lots and let them howl, especially at night, in the summertime when you have your windows open and things of that sort, and the moon is full and these dogs are howling, how can other residents do anything without the help of the sound enforceable law? Motorcycles doing trail riding in vacant lots are annoying to many. This is extremely bad when local residents work night shifts. Even rock crushers have a bit of rhythm that you'll never find in these sickles. How much should we have to take? How much of this American responsibility seems to, why is it so much of this American responsibility seems to escape so many? When the county can't help its citizens, I do hope the state will consider some action that will help, especially to the many who feel resentment towards our county and our state for the unfortunate situations we have to endure. Thank you.
Are there questions of Mrs. Vetcher? Thank you, Mrs. Vetcher.
May I have these back when you get them?
Yes.
Sylvia Murthy. I'm Sylvia Murthy, 17978 South Grassley Road, Oregon City. And Clackamas County is not a home rule county, so we have to come to the legislature for laws. And we need this nuisance law. Apparently, we had one up until 69 and it was rescinded. And I'll only talk about one wrecking yard in our area. And up to 69, they had to move their fence back. They had to put in a high fence. They had to put in shrubs around it. And it wasn't a nuisance. Since then, they moved the fence out to within two car widths. And they have about 32 cars usually out in front. They lowered the fence. They took the shrubs away. They have the open gate, and the car bodies are piled high. And they're out on the shoulder. They're even out sticking out on the crusty asphalt. There was a truck with a 6x6 that was sticking out across the asphalt. So when it got to that point, I called the new owner. Apparently there have been three since 69. And he said he was allowed 8 cars in front. So I called the solid waste of the sheriff's department. He said they had no ordinance. They couldn't do anything to call the state police. So I called the state police, and they said they would look into it. Now, apparently, they have come out there because there are fewer cars out in front. But that is the situation that we have. We have no recourse to take care of this matter.
Are there questions of Mrs. Murthy? Thank Senator Carson.
Is this area zoned, you may have said?
Yes, that has been, that's a zoned building code area.
Is it zoned commercial or industrial across where the wrecking yard is?
Yes, it is.
How about the same, this house?
Now that, those pictures are on, are near Portland. What I'm talking about is out in the country on the Redmond Road. Now in those pictures, they have housing units within the wrecking yard.
Thank you.
Are there other questions? Thank you, Mike Montgomery.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Michael Montgomery, Deputy District Attorney from Clackamas County. And I'm speaking on behalf of the Clackamas County Board of Commissioners. They have unanimously voted to take a position supporting this piece of legislation. Unlike some of the other bills that you have in your committee, this bill was not introduced at the request of the Board of County Commissioners. It was requested at the introduced at the request of some of the Clackamas County citizens that have already testified. But the board does unanimously support the bill. As the last lady indicated, up until 1969, the statutes provided the power for Clackamas County to determine certain situations to be a nuisance if a petition was brought into that effect, and to abate the nuisance. The solid waste ordinance, I think, inadvertently repealed those provisions. Maybe there was a feeling that they were unnecessary. Well, that's untrue, because the solid waste ordinances that were adopted in 1969 do not apply to all the situations that these nuisance provisions used to be used for.
There was a statement that you had these ordinances in 1969, now you don't, and that's because what?
The legislature, when it adopted in 1969 the provisions allowing the counties to enact solid waste ordinances, repealed the provisions under, well, it was in the special actions, I think chapter 30, or approximately chapter 30 of ORS. The legislature repealed the enabling statutes allowing the county to declare a situation to be a nuisance.
Do you think that was inadvertent, is that right?
I think so.
Okay.
Either that or bad legal advice.
Let's leave it at inadvertent.
The Commissioner Stephanie on our Board of County Commissioners, who's acquainted, of course, with at least two of the senators here, and I think from Senator Carson's nod, perhaps more than two, had experience with the old ordinance making authority when they could have the hearings before the Board of County Commissioners determined to be a nuisance, and he asked our office to come down and support this measure, because he does feel that even though in some cases some state agency could help these people do something about the noise or the stench or the dust, that really it's generally a localized problem, and we feel that if the county can't help them, that they, frankly, they just can't get any help.
Are there questions that we don't remember? Senator, are you satisfied with the language in the bill drafted?
Yes, I am. When I talked to you last week about it, Senator, I indicated that House Bill 2869, which takes a specific approach to the sort of things that can be nuisances, would be equally satisfactory. I've looked at that since then, and I think that might be a little bit too limiting. I suspect that Senate Bill 830, Senator Ivers' bill, is really a better approach.
Senator Carson?
This parking of commercial trucks in the residential zone inside cities now takes it in real traffic. Do you see any problems if I were a citizen in your district outside the city and in the county and wanting to come to prevent that? Is that kind of business you think would come under this?
It would come under the statute, and it would also come under House Bill 3009, which would give non-home rule counties broad ordinance making authority.
That's the second question. I believe that passed the House.
That's my understanding. It has passed the House and may come to your committee.
If that passed the House, that does this a lot more than
that's correct.
So if that passes, we don't need this.
Probably even allows me to create water districts.
We might miss that.
What is it, legislation? Well, it has a lot to do with full crew of the 1971 session.
The full crew.
I'll be glad to explain that to you at some opportunity, but it relates to piece of legislation that passed the Senate in 19, or passed the House. It passed both bodies about three times, but never did get quite together. Got run over by railroad trains, but it allowed ordinance making power to the county. And that died in last session, back this session, and I believe it passed the House, it's coming over here, and it's very well made.
How does this apply to full crew?
long story, Mr. Chairman. It has to do with several bills, the building code, uniform building code, the full crew law, and county ordinance provisions all got kind of wound up together in that session.
And they keep bringing it back to the same form?
No, there are three different bills, but they, there's one of our colleagues that we might bring and explain that to you, but passed, I think, both bodies, and then was reconsidered on the Senate floor.
Perhaps the personalities of some of the sponsors of some of the bills may have had
never
a larger
legislation down
here. But anyway, it's back the House over here and goes a lot further than that. In fact, if that passes, we don't need this one. And Senator Meeker said it's a question whether we even need that water.
Senator Meeker, I think that Senator Carson's observation is correct, that there's no guarantee on the part of anyone in this committee that 3009.
No, I'd rather pass this one.
Where is 3009?
Just past the House, I believe.
Probably been read once. You may have it.
Mr. Orrick was just speaking to me about it a few minutes ago. He might be able to give it, if he's still here.
Yeah.
He might be able to give the chairman some information on that.
I would, Mr. Chairman, I would agree with Senator Meeker that if that passes, it may repeal this one. But I think this is one of the most important aspects of the...
Jerry, what is it, first reading and second?
I'm not certain, Mr. Chairman. As indicated, just passed the House Tuesday, and so it should be ready for first reading in the Senate.
Today? Well, what do you say? You want to hold this
Mr. Chairman, there's a real need for this in just about any county in the state. Abandoned automobiles.
The real need will sure be expedited. Somebody make a motion.
I move that we send Senate Bill 830 to the floor to be back.
There is a motion. Discussion. Call the roll.
Aye.
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 Aye. Senator Meeker carries the bill.
Thank you, gentlemen. One comment, if I might. If 3009 does pass, I'm afraid it may not cover that water, retail water problem that we're talking about in 534, because that deals with service districts as opposed to county.
Right. Okay, now we go to 826. Wes, why don't you and Carrie and Larry Rice?
Larry.
Now, we've got some amendments here. And you all worked on these, is that
right.
Correct?
That's right, Mr. Chairman.
All right, and these have been hand engrossed into the bill.
Yes, they have.
Now, have we adopted those amendments?
No.
Okay,
excuse me. One other thing, on page 2, line 25, when we worked on these amendments, didn't we substitute some word for the word created?
Right, established. Established, right.
Okay, that's the chain.
Why don't you mark it that way now, and then we can treat all these amendments, try to treat all these amendments at the time.
Everybody just...
That's on line 25, page 2.
Yeah.
Strike
the
word created for the word established. Wes, you want to go through your...
Yeah.
Tell us the importance of these amendments to the page number and line.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like
make
to
make a general statement.
I think a general statement would be the best in terms of time. The amendments to Senate Bill 826 remove three things. One, the appropriation section. Second, the mandatory membership feature applying to counties.
Where is that?
Where is that?
It'd be section 3, page 3, would be the removing of the mandatory membership and making it voluntary.
Appropriation section was the last section of the bill.
Okay.
And then the third item that's removed is a section providing that the governor shall establish a regional council and establish its membership.
The reason what we're saying is we're setting up, we're making it strictly voluntary.
This is right.
Having the governor set it up.
This is right.
All right.
The bill would still provide for formation of regional council by resolution of the counties and cities representing over 75% of the population of the district. This, again, Mr. Chairman, is permissive. The bill would also provide the procedure, and this is a new provision, for review and revision of the district boundaries. This review would be carried out jointly between the Office of the Governor and the state legislature, with the governor's office making a report to the 1975 legislature. The bill would still prescribe that the function of the Council of Governments be tied to planning coordination, which was an original component of the bill, and provides that the Regional Council is the official planning agency for state and federal programs, where those area-wide planning efforts are required by state law. So in summary, Mr. Chairman, we have made the bill essentially, through these amendments, a voluntary effort provides that local government can enter into these regional councils. That two-thirds of the membership of the governing body must be members of the governing bodies of the member units. We feel that with these amendments, we still have a bill that would be very important to the state and to recognition of the importance of local government and the relationship between the state and local government.
Other questions?
Is there any method for any given governing body, i.e. a county or city, to withdraw once the organization is formed?
No, as I read it, once the organization is formed, they are members. Once the resolution of the governing bodies representing 75% of the city is adopted and a constitution is established, they are members.
It's 75% of the population.
Right. Of the district.
It's not 75% of the governing body. 75% of the
right, the governing body representing 75% of the population of the district. Okay? That's what it reads now.
In other words, it's not by a vote of the people, but a vote of the governing body representing 75% of the population of the district.
That's correct, Senator.
Senator,
just mere speculation. Or Marion and Polk County decided to do it, then Yam Hill would be forced into it, would they not?
Yes, they would.
Well, wait a minute. Now, Kerry says otherwise.
I don't think I have the same reading of that provision as you do, Russ.
It's in section 6.
Well, the section 6 as I see it is. I think we're saying the same thing, but saying it two different ways. If the governing bodies of the cities and counties representing 75% of the population in the planning district, by resolution, create or form the Council of Governments, then the Council of Governments is formed and it would be recognized by the state and the federal government for planning purposes. Now, if one particular city or county within that planning district area was not a member, but the remainder of the cities and counties in that area still made up the 75%, that area would still be recognized as the planning area, even though City X may not be a bona fide member that joined and paid its dues.
That's my next question. It relates to the dues paying function. What's the requirement of membership regarding the dues paying?
The contributions to the operation of the council would be determined by its bylaws.
Okay, next question, Senator Meeker, is that answers my question?
It does.
It doesn't quite answer. I got one more. You get down to on page, Luke page 7, section 10, sub 2, that the grant obligation of each member of the council shall be enforced for, name the council against the member, as is in the other contract of obligation. Okay, so let's use Senator Meeker's example. You got Marion and Fulton County decide they've got 75% population growing, and they vote again, no kind of, they don't have anything to do with it. They don't even have anything to do with the vote or anything else. And so they, and it passed. So then you've got a cog. Now, Gamble County, are they a member or aren't they a member?
They are not a member unless
they... No, Carrie says they're not a member.
Not unless they have filed a resolution joining the council.
Then, if they're not a member, then under section 9, or section 10, then it says the financial obligation of each member of the council shall be enforced. So, then you would have no enforcement power against Yamhill County,
that's
right?
That's correct.
Senator Meeker.
Then how could you form a district including Yamhill County?
Well, you would still have the 75% population requirement for recognition. Now, again, since this is a voluntary concept here, the plans and programs that were developed through the planning process of the regional council would not be imposed upon Yamhill County. I mean, it would be, you know, the powers of persuasion to convince Yamhill County that they should adopt that portion of the plan as it pertains to Yamhill County. And I don't mean to single out Yamhill County because...
Larry?
Senator, the key here is 75% of the population residing within cities and counties of the district. And if you can't obtain 75% of the residents within that district by having Yamhill County not belong, you can't have the county government.
Point is,
they
can. You would, though, with Marion Polk.
See, Marion County has 180,000, and Polk probably has close to 50-45.
You have well over 75% of the two counties.
Mm-hmm. Then they don't have to be members. If they're not members, you can't impose dues upon them. Our council government existed for 27 years in some cities not members. In multiple counties, again, you could have some counties not members.
Chairman, it seems to me that we have a weakness in the draft here. Our approach, at least my thinking on it, was that the Council of Governments would not be mandatory, but once 75% of the people has expressed to their governing body made the decision to form a regional council, then all counties had to be members with an option up to the cities. And it's correct that Senator Meeker does not read that way at the present time. Yamhill County, using our local example, could opt out of the action.
Which you mean under this bill?
Yes, under this bill.
They don't opt out, you mean they don't opt in?
Correct. Either way.
Well, can they opt out?
Once they're in, yes.
Where are the bills to allow that?
Well, since it's voluntary, Mr. Chairman, they could, by resolution, withdraw their membership.
Okay, where? Show me the section.
Well, that section isn't in there, but it's implied, I think, in the fact that it's not mandatory in the first place.
One thing they could not, they could refuse to provide the funds.
You talk with the city council about
the drafted the amendments. They explained it to me in a matter where you join by a resolution, you can also disjoin by a resolution. When you get married, you get divorced.
But the point is, there are marriage statutes and there are divorce statutes. So I don't buy the rest of the council.
Right now, section 4, it says for all federal programs, the carrying out of which is the planning and the regional plan and so forth. And it shall be the official planning agency and shall have all powers necessary to such. Now, going back to Senator Meeker's example, suppose Yamhill County doesn't opt in. This is the official planning agency for that tri-county area, whether they opt in or not, right? Now, does it provide in here and where plans of units of government that are part of the COG, they submit their plans to the planning agency?
No, that is not correct.
They don't submit them whatsoever, not even for review or anything, right?
This is provided indirectly if you Senate Bill 100, if county choose to work through the regional council.
Instead of Bill 100, just in the county.
Yes, instead of the county. There's a provision that they may opt to go through the regional council, in which case.
Would, who would the legislative council contribute to?
Chairman, I'm assuming that council of governments, like Lane Council of Governments, in their bylaws now, have a provision where each in the resolving resolutions, which would have to be set up here to adopt bylaws, make mandatory themselves a referral of plan. And if they didn't want to, they would be in the union. IRIS initially did that themselves by their own report.
They're going to be just an operation, Mr. Chairman. Dan Hill County participates in COG and are quite satisfied with that participation in my communications with them. I just am concerned that this bill they suggested here not apply this COG to the Lyman Valley, but every other COG in the state. I don't interpret the formation section of this bill as apply, and I see nothing in the act that applies to withdrawal.
I think it'd be helpful.
I don't see anything here.
I think it'd be helpful the committee have to have the city council up here, and I think we should.
One other question, Mr. Chairman. We discussed the section 2 bill. Which mandates that the COG be constructed in relation to the 14 administrative districts. If you observe for us the need for that.
Right. Senator Meeker, I feel strongly that the regional COG should be tied to the administrative districts. Because what we're really dealing with here is the state system that interacts with local government. And I think the state has a responsibility to first say that these are basically logical units, county-wise, or logical subunits of the state to work and react with local government, provide that interface. I'm certain that Kerry would have some comments as well.
Senator Meeker, the question of the administrative districts, I think the boundaries have been in existence since 69, and there's been arguments in favor or against particular counties belonging to one district or another, and the governor has always taken the position that if local government can, you know, make a case for a boundary change, he'd be more than willing to consider that change. The idea of having common district boundaries originated with the idea of having a common framework for the administration of all state agencies, the collection of their data, the delivery of their services. At the same time, the federal government was looking to the governor to designate regional planning areas for a number of federal grant programs, such as law enforcement, health, manpower, area-wide water and sewer. So by using the same geographical framework, both for the federal programs, for the state programs, and then asking local government to organize and plan its programs on the same geographical basis, it makes for a consistent system of planning at the state, the federal, and the local jurisdictions.
Could I interrupt and say there's two ways to go at it? That is to allow the county to adjust themselves to the district they want to be in, and the state shifts to match that, or to do it the way the president's doing it. Come in from the top, but this is the way the state wants to do it, and you can't adjust to it. Yeah. And there's a difference between that, those two brothers, night and day, and I think that's the heart of what we're trying to get at. Right. One comes up from the bottom, one comes down from the top. Both going to the goals, right. And that is collecting delivery of services to people.
Right. And I think that's your biggest, the observation we made here, Senator Carson, your biggest problem on the east side.
Mm-hmm. No question about it.
West one.
Senator Carson, I want to comment that this is the reason that the bill entered the bill through the amendments is a process for revision. Now, perhaps that the revision process should be expanded to give the counties more of an initiation. Here, it's pretty much up to the office of governor and the state legislature. Perhaps the counties ought to be clearly spelled out in that section that they may initiate through some process a revision of the district boundaries.
Senator Meeker.
Section 3 says that a council of governments may be formed by the units of local government. That statement is very clear, that it may be formed by
yes.
the units of local government.
May be formed.
And if you eliminate Section 2 entirely, then it is left up to the country. And I suggest to you that the areas where we have operating costs, they're going to follow that same format. Lane County COG is, you know, that won't change a bit. Neither will the minimum balance.
You're suggesting,
Well, what I'm saying is that it would be from the bottom up, as Senator Carson mentioned, if you eliminate Section 2.
Senator Meeker, my feeling is, as I stated before, that I believe there is a state interest, a very clear state interest in the sub-state district. I do agree with you that there should be more county input into that process.
Senator, if you remove the provisions on establishing the boundaries, and as you pointed out, most of the districts would stay in basically the same shape that they are in, except that you would not have any guarantee that the next governor or this governor or the federal agencies are going to recognize or accept what local government comes up with. And the second point is that you could have a proliferation of councils, single county or single city, for that matter, by them allowing them to designate their own geographical area. It'd be possible to have three planning areas within one county or more.
Senator, one of the key provisions of the bill was to have the legislature establish their policy in conjunction with the governor on how they will handle area-wide planning geographically, and not have federal agencies then sit around and dictate to us how we will handle it by each functional program.
Another question? We're going to have a conference. People who buy the legislature on legal matters. And there won't be any delay on it. But we want to do that before we.
Mr. Chairman, will there be an opportunity for people who testified on 826 before amendments to see these amendments and testify on this bill?
Let's see. Who do
we have? We have people from several counties and states, near cities.
That's fine. I would like to say, I think, frankly, we can have communication from them from people that are here. And
Chairman, I'm keeping our local people informed, the Tri-County.
You talk about people primarily from the Marion County, that and the Lane County call, who they come from.
Coos County.
Coos.
City of Ashland. Polk County.
Well, we can, I don't want to send this to them that we have a conference on it. And it may raise more problems than undeserved problems. And so I think we'll have a conference with a legal advisor or two. And then we can do one of two things. We've got the names of the people, and we can mail it out to them. Or we can say there's going to be another hearing on this bill and bring them in. And my only concern about that is that it's now April 26th. And I want them to be fully informed and have their input, but I want to do it in the most expeditious way we can.
Mr. Chairman, there may be one final comment. If we do leave in Section 2, how does that affect the Craig bill that this committee passed? Because sub 2, Section 2 outlines the four counties in the Craig area.
We have to rely on Columbia County.
You pull Columbia out.
We pull Columbia out. That question, if I dare mention it,
apparently they discussed that legislative council
under the Craig bill as we passed, which I guess will be up on the floor next week. The option was still there for Columbia County to join as an associate member. Now under this,
where it says established, was felt that that removes the mandatory function of it. So there is some confusion.
Should Columbia County have an option to go with Clackamas and Pillow County?
Well, this is the point we're trying to make by elimination of two, you see. Of course, that's a philosophical disagreement that perhaps the legislature has with the governor.
Tell me that again. You say use the word two, right?
Oh, section.
Oh, section.
All of the sections.
See, we considered at one time during the whole subcommittee deleting section two, but then several, I mean, good arguments have been made for putting that in, but providing the county the authority, the opportunity to shift around if they don't like the alignment.
Well, have we gotten that authority in here?
Well, it's supposed to be. It's not very clear. It's not very clear.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, on page 4, section 12 refers to the office of the governor shall cause the boundaries of any planning district formed under this
page
act.
Page 4, section
12. To be reviewed. 12. Right.
One, mm-hmm. Wait,
that's
section
12.
That must be page 9.
Is that 9? Yeah. Oh, excuse me, 9. Section 9. Right. Or page 9. Cut off on the top there.
Yeah. The goal there was I think an earlier testimony from one of the members of our panel here indicated that perhaps what ought to be redrafted to show a greater, this puts the governor and the legislature kind of jointly together on redoing it. I think we can redraft it to make sure it's the county that initiates the change, and then I think it should be approved by the legislature. I'm sure it has to be approved by the legislature.
I think everybody agrees that using county lines is not the most desirable thing to begin with, but once you go within county lines, then you got a job where they're going to accomplish the session. Okay, let's let this go with it now, and we'll be in touch with the providers. And what we may do is, I'll leave my options open. We're going to be back on this maybe as early as next Tuesday. And if that's impossible, it'll make it Thursday. Next week we'll be back on this, okay?
Excellent. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you very much appreciate your effort. All right, now going back to the agenda, some bills we didn't take any action on. Anybody here have any?
Chairman, I move 534 before the 2-pass recommendation.
Okay. Senator Durnstead moves Senate Bill 534 before the 2-pass recommendation. Discussion. Clerk, call the roll.
Aye.
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 Senator Durnstead carries it.
Are we through?
Well, I'm
Yeah. was telling him that this, I was thinking, now that, these are on the side, on Real Seed Hill, and all down in it, it's about 15 hours, 15 minutes. And they grabbed it with the land developer, and it was a residential development, and according to our comprehensive plan, it didn't, you know, go past. So they, instead, they were grandfathered off, and they were archived, and so, I've been asking them with Jim Hall, arranging to get all these in. But I think that R5 must take up part of their street, because they have Hill Street going through there, and all the streets. Only 20-foot tents, and all the lots in the same houses, and we could go, I guess we could put down here. There is a little bit of retaining here, but people down below had put this up years and years ago. There isn't anything that this developer has had. But there's retaining walls and everything else needed in here.
Yes,
We've done a lot of work on this.
Jerry Orrick, who's the chief staff for the Association of Oregon Counties.
Now, here's some. Even though this was not considered solid base because it is lumber. This woman has been working without a permit for I don't know how long. She's been taken to court quite a number of times. She's up for another $200 fine. Mrs. Frolic. You know it right there.
Sure. We had her one deputy full time for it.
Well, they even call me all the time to see if they can locate her somewhere because our address is somewhere close. And
she hides to duck summons, services summons, and so we have to rely on the neighbors to catch her.
From our backyard. This is solid waste, too. From our backyard. Now, these trucks here, now this is supposed to be a county road. Now, that's another thing I interfere there with Mr. McIntyre, because they looked this up, and Ella is a county road. It's part of 66, I guess it is. But it's a dead end, just before Johnson Creek, before the creek part there. And these trucks, Ellen's trucks, were parking in there constantly, and they worked with Mr. Mancini over and over and over again. They had Marjorie Frolic bunch on one side and this on the other. And just junk and everything that he would leave there, and they couldn't get anywhere. They finally moved out by themselves. Never got any help from the county. And this you can't tell too much from the wrecking yards over there, but I've got some better pictures of that. But it's pretty hard to tell. But I meant the stuff out all over there. This is Crosswhite was signing on the landfill there, and up in here there's a trucking place that they do have that is trucking. But quite, he has trouble keeping this filled in because I think the vibration of the road. And this is, you can't tell too well, but if you look in there, you could see that's falling down all the time. And I think the vibration probably is good. You're trucking. Now, these trucks are working. They were working at that time of PAC, but they're having a court once against them. Thank goodness for all of our work on it, anyway. They park on the roads. This is the hill that I was telling you about where these houses are back into here. It's a steep hill. Uh-huh. You try to get out around this way, you can't see. Yeah. And you get that way, you go to turn out that way, you're likely to be hit too. And they park over there. These are residential areas. They're not commercial. They park all over there and they do their business there. They change the UC plates. They change Oregon license plates. That's where we were getting them. And here is some more on the wrecking. Bud Dollar Wrecking has been fined one time, $60 by the state. But that little bit didn't mean anything to him. And like I say, it's been 6,000. But see, here's some more on the way to truck park. Our road is right behind there.
Is this the same?
Same bunch. Yeah, they run Taka, Renko, Marty trucks, and they do business for anybody. They lease the trucks out. That's how they do it. And they're escaping taxes because they have a residential house down the street from us, and they were doing repairs and everything down on a 30-foot street. And we, you know, had trouble constantly. And as long as there's 16-foot clearance, they can get away with a lot of it. But they, you can see some of the houses in through here. They do their repair work and everything right there. They're not allowed even, we got after haul on that. At one time, he told us, you get me pictures of them working on it, and I'll get them out of your residential area. But then when we brought it to a meeting one time, we had several meetings, even got Mr. Williams from U.S. Safety Carrier, and Mr. Odom from U.S. Safety Carrier, got a number of them coming.
I didn't know whether you wanted all this conversation or not.
And there's some more on our truck. And this is some on the...